In the business news this morning, new challenges for banks and their intangibles, the legal agreements that not even lawyers understand, and we'll bring you the latest from the money markets. Well, Westpac says it moved quickly to remedy a failure to send disclosure information to more than 19,000 customers on credit card terms. And this comes as the Commerce Commission looks to make an example of the bank. The watchdog has filed proceedings in the High Court seeking a declaration that the bank breached consumer finance laws and it wants damages and costs for affected customers. Westpac admits that in March 2018 it found that disclosure documents hadn't been sent to 19,000 new credit card customers, but says it was an error caused by an update to its IT systems. It's the latest incident to hit the banking sector in recent months, which have seen the abrupt exit of ANZ's chief executive, David Hisco, the Reserve Bank's proposal to force banks to hold more money, as well as its promise to take a tougher line in regulation of banks' behaviour. KPMG's head of banking and finance, John Kensington, says improving treatment of customers and broader culture within banks are intangibles, but also among the biggest challenges that are facing the sector.
Banks in New Zealand have millions of customers and they do millions of transactions a day, and it's probably only one or two of those transactions that go awry and cause a customer some issues. And when you look at it as a percentage of the number of transactions, it seems like on the whole they do very well most of the time. But now throw that into an airline situation. An airline can't get 999 of 1,000 flights right and only crash one a day, and that's where an airline has to operate to that almost zero tolerance for failure, whereas in the past, banking, insurance, and a number of other industries have sort of been able to have a slightly more relaxed, and when I say more relaxed, I mean it's still a very low proportion of people unhappy. But I think what's happening is as people become more aware, as social media plays a bigger part, the latitude or the level of transaction that doesn't go well for a customer comes down significantly closer to what's expected of something like an airline, i.e. almost close to a zero failure. And look, that's incredibly hard to manage when you're doing so many transactions a day.
That's KPMG's head of banking and finance, John Kensington. Interestingly, in Australia, Westpac has just released its self-assessment into culture, governance and accountability. It comes as Australia's banking regulator has ordered all the main banks to hold an extra $500 million Australian dollars in capital to cover operational risks that have emerged in their internal reports. And the Westpac document raises the question, are Australia's banks too big to manage? It says, in essence, the organisation does a lot of talking at the expense of taking action. It's big on ideas, but poor on execution. And it talks of a more is more culture. More analysis, more information, more documentation, more bureaucracy, more sign-offs, more meetings, more policies, more frameworks, more stuff. And much of it without rationalisation. It also talks of an organisational culture of safety, both at a company and employee level. All the main Australian banks have released their internal cultural reports, except ANZ. Retirement village operators have been told to get rid of jargon in their agreements with customers and residents, which are catching out elderly with hidden charges. The Commission for Financial Capability says the agreements are complex and often leave residents paying surprise daily fees of up to $100. The Commission's National Manager of Retirement Villages, Troy Turton, has raised the issue with the Minister responsible. He says the agreements are so complex and confusing that even lawyers struggle to get their heads around them, and that's concerning because care facilities are growing strongly.
The monitoring report confirmed that there was a lot of mixed terminology and a lot of misunderstanding about the distinction between the retirement village offering and the aged care offering, given that around 70% of villages now have an aged care facility on their site, and so many villages promote retirement village living on the basis that people can move to a village and get a continuum of care. From a consumer perspective, the report confirmed that the amount of information and the quality of the information given at the front end, and that an intending resident needs to be legally advised on, could be improved.
That's Troy Churton, who is the National Manager of Retirement Villages at the Commission for Financial Capability. It's just gone 5 minutes to seven. You're listening to Business on Morning Report. Well, climate change may open the door for new insurance products to enter the market. Most insurers have now moved to risk-based pricing models where they raise premiums in areas prone to natural disasters such as earthquakes and floods. And that's raising the prospect that some regions will find it difficult, possibly impossible to get insurance. A partner with the law firm Chapman Tripp, John Knight, thinks insurers will soon start to introduce different products. He says smaller insurance payouts distributed more often is one option.
Well, one thing that attracted our attention was these so-called parametric insurance products. So essentially those are insurances which don't relate to an insured person suffering a loss in a normal way. So you don't need to say there's been a storm, my building's damaged, I need some compensation. Rather, they are policies or financial products that respond when certain events occur. So, for example, a certain amount of rainfall or a certain average wind strength or something that affects your property. They're an agreed payment, so essentially it's a trigger. If the parameter is met, then the insurance will pay out a sum of money that's been agreed.
Would that work in New Zealand, do you think?
I really don't know. What I can say is that there is likely to be a growing demand for an economy like New Zealand's, heavily based on agriculture, to look for financial products that will smooth the increased volatility that comes from climate change risk.
That's John Knight of law firm Chapman Tripp. He was talking to Madison Reedy. Let's have a look at the financial markets now. Wall Street firmer. It's taking heart after Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell sent those dovish signals yesterday, which many are taking as confirmation of a rate cut at the end of the month. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up 165 points, just through the 27,000 level. That's just over 0.5%. And the other main indices, the NASDAQ is down a handful of points, and the S&P 500 is up. Ooh, a fraction as well. Our own top 50 index had another solid session, another record high, gaining 37 points, about a third of a percent. 10,687 is where it starts the morning. And on the currency front, the New Zealand dollar seems to be stuck around 66.6 euro cents, 95.5 Australian, 53.2 British pence, 0.592 euro, 72.2 Japanese yen, and 4.57 yuan. Brent crude oil is down 30 cents, $66.70 US a barrel, and gold is down $13 at $1,406 US dollars an ounce. And time just to say that the cinema software company Vista Group has made the Forbes list of the best 200 companies with under $1 billion in revenue in the Asia-Pacific region. It's the only New Zealand company to feature on the list. Well, that's business for now. I'll update the numbers for you. Any breaking news around 8:30?